Good morning and welcome to Holistic Living with Tina Marie. In today's fast-paced, fast-food, coffee shop society, it can be a real challenge to live a healthy, balanced life. But here to show you that there is a better, healthier way to live is your host, Tina Marie.
Hello, America. Thanks so much for joining me again this week on Holistic Living. It's so nice to have you. As you know, this is the fourth and final series, part in the series for Green Living, which was the month of May. I hope you've had a wonderful time joining me through all the just amazing guests that we've had on the show. We're going to have another set of amazing guests today, but before I introduce them, I wanted to let you know what next week we have in store. We have Mr. Arsenio Rodriguez joining us from the Alliance for a New Humanity. That is an organization that was founded by Deepak Chopra and is making some tremendous changes for our planet globally, not only ecologically and economically, but also politically, so that we can see ourselves more as a political oneness, a political unity that is wanting to grow humanity and not just individual cultures. So please join me next week whenever we do have Mr. Arsenio Rodriguez on from the Alliance for a New Humanity. And that leads me into let you know that June, the whole month of June, is going to be dedicated to very powerful fathers. Since it is the hallmark of Father's Day in June. But these are very powerful fathers who have dedicated their lives to making a positive change in the world. And these aren't only fathers that are looking at raising families, but they are raising the world. They are spiritually conscious. They're amazing gentlemen that you will know the names of whenever we pull that up. You can always go to my website and find out more information about them. That is tinamarie.com. Or you can always find me on my host page at voiceamerica.com. So we're going to have some great guests in the month of June. Please stay tuned with me on that. Today we are going to be talking about a book that's hitting the shelves, and it's called Ecopreneuring. And Ecopreneuring is a fresh and dynamic approach to entrepreneurial thinking, a blending passion with the planet for small business pragmatics and smashing the stereotype that doing good and running a business can't go hand in hand. So we have the co-authors of the book on with us today. We have Lisa and John, and I'm not going to even try your last names because I know I wouldn't do them justice. They're very interesting, lots of vowels. You are innkeepers at the award-winning inn, Serendipity Bed and Breakfast, which is completely powered by renewable energy. That is wonderful. This is a husband and wife duo who are national speakers, marketing consultants, and co-authors of Rural Renaissance and Edible Earth. They regularly contribute to projects for the not-for-profit organizations, including Renewing the Countryside, providing success stories and practical resources for rural entrepreneurs and farmers. So thank you so much, Lisa and John, for being on the show today.
Thank you for the invite, Tina.
Thank you.
You are going to be helping our listeners understand what your book is about, Ecopreneuring, Putting Purpose and the Planet Before Profits. I just love the title. I had to have you on the show because I'm, as you know, a business owner. My husband's a business owner. And in the city of Houston, and I think, you know, throughout at least America, the mentality of Americans is, as you say in your book and on your blogs, that we are raised to get our degrees, put our degrees to work, make like lots of money, buy a big house, buy cars, send the kids through college. And it's almost like we're all on autopilot in this scenario, this recipe for life. And more people are saying, wait a second, how can I be more healthy through that process, and how can I be more conscious about how I'm damaging the earth or not giving back to? Is that what the book is about?
Indeed, Tina, and I love your analogy of the recipe, because what we're talking about is shaking up both the ingredient list and the end result for something that is a much healthier result, both for oneself personally and the planet. A real redefinition of wealth from our traditional perspective of more is better, bigger is better, beef up that bank account, to quality of life, quality of environment for the planet, resulting in really changing our world through how we do business.
Yes. And you hit on something that I'm going through right now personally. We're looking at purchasing a new home. We've been very blessed to have this wonderful house that we're living in now, but we're looking to put the kids in a new school district that has, you know, higher academic standards. And in doing so, given our financial position, we have the option of purchasing a very large home that would satisfy everybody's needs, taking into consideration everybody's wants and desires, or purchasing a modest home And, you know, keeping ourselves, as I call it, modest and humble in how we live our lives. It's a challenge. It's actually a very strong pull right now to try and figure out how we are going to mesh these opinions of what our lives are going to end up being in a new house.
Indeed. And that idea relates to the business side as well. From our perspective, running in Serendipity, we're very happy with our two-room bed and breakfast here in southwest Wisconsin. And people ask, you know, well, don't you want a franchise? Don't you want to expand? From our perspective, no. It's very manageable, and it results in a healthy quality of life. And that's our goal in what we're doing, both our work life, our play life, and how it all blends together, and having that opportunity to spend time with our family, raise our son, contribute to our community. And it's an equation that everybody needs to manage personally. But what we're very excited about within this ecopreneuring movement is a growing number of people like yourself who are really looking at their livelihood more holistically, and how can I both earn a profit to, yes, be financially viable, but more importantly, do so by doing something I'm passionate about that creates a better environment for us all.
Yeah, uh-huh. I mean, where we actually got the name ecopreneur, ecopreneuring, it's much more from our perspective and our definitional way of approaching it. It's not just a merging of ecological and entrepreneur. I mean, ecopreneurs and everyone that we've interviewed and the thousands of people we've talked to over the last decade or so related to this is they're really redefining success, they're redefining wealth, and wealth is not strictly financial. It's more of a qualitative way of approaching their business and their life, not a quantitative one. It's not the square foot of my house. It's not the miles per gallon you know, in terms of my vehicles and how fast it can go. They're really looking at the sense of happiness is getting reconnected to that. I mean, a lot of folks are getting tired of pushing around papers in a cubicle that don't necessarily find themselves enriching in various ways. So they're connecting to the idea of having more purpose and meaning in their life. And in our case, the ecopreneurs are moving forward with that that concept and that idea and using the business, whether it's a for-profit or a non-profit, as you know, mm-hmm. a business or enterprise can be either one, depending on how the business is structured, but taking that business and actually being a catalyst for change. So we like to say, you know, create the change you seek in the world and use
right.
the business as that actual catalyst.
Definitely. And most of the people that come to me in my practice and want to, you know, have a consulting period with me, they're seeking something. They know they're seeking out something, and we get down to the root of it, and it's happiness. They're wanting to create happiness. But what I had to go through were layers of removing stress in their lives because they see that they're stressed, but they have no clue what they're striving for. They want to be no stress, but they don't even have a connection to the word happiness in their life anymore. Well, if you remove that, what would bring you? Oh, well, you know, wouldn't have bills. Okay, well, what would that bring? Oh, maybe happiness. And it was very strange. This one lady, she said, maybe that's why I'm here. I just want to be happy. And I'm finding that people are putting themselves in careers, like you're saying, that they are just stressed about. And the reason why is there's no value add for the productivity that they're giving to the world. And they don't see the end result. They don't see the end result of their work day in, day out, day in, day out. All they know is that they're clocking in, clocking out, riding the bus home, and trying to feed their family. But there's no value in what they're doing from what they see.
Very true. And from the ecopreneur's perspective, a lot of the businesses that we profile in the book and on the ecopreneuring.biz website are small businesses. And there's a real advantage to that because, like with your work, Tina, when you work with an individual, you see that transformation in your clients. And mm-hmm. we see people take a shower for the first time with water heated by the sun with our solar thermal system. And all of a sudden, new opportunities open up and their eyes light up. And mm-hmm. and we see that personally. And that is tremendously satisfying. And that goes way beyond the price they pay for a B&B room or our bottom line statement. It's that satisfaction that we derive and the people we work with derive. And that's something that we see as a transition of going beyond calling people consumers. You hear that a lot in the business textbooks and business schools.
Right.
But that's not what we're about here. These are conserving customers. These are friends. These are people who make choices based on their values. And they're choosing more green businesses. They're choosing to come to lodging that runs on renewable energy or prioritizes local foods, restaurants that buy from local farmers. The list goes mm-hmm. on and on of options. And that's what's also very inspiring because there's a lot of opportunity today to launch new green businesses to tap into these trends and needs.
Right. And I think whenever we live humbly and simplistically in a way that fits our needs, then it's easier for us to support the local community, because it's almost like we're bartering. It's like we're returning back to that bartering system that created this country.
Oh, we love barter.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because when you talk about things, which we agree with completely, of simple and going back to the basics, that by no means means lean and rustic.
No,
in that
sense. No.
We found, the simpler our needs, the richer our quality of life. And that's very empowering. And that's what we're excited that we hope the tides are turning, and we hope ecopreneuring helps do that even further, of people feeling empowered to make change. And in this case, the change would involve starting their own business, breaking from these traditional expectations, like you had mentioned, of I need a job to earn money to get what I want. Well, really? Or can we change that equation entirely? And You're not working towards an end result, but your everyday provides your end result.
Yes.
One of the things we write about is what we call the multiple economies of ecopreneurship. And what you just talked about, we kind of loosely lump into that household economy of greater self-sufficiency and self-reliance, whether it's energy or food or even childcare. And you know, that is a big theme in our first book together, Rural Renaissance, and talked a little bit more about the sustainable living side of things. But that multiple economies of ecopreneurship goes way beyond that. It goes into the barter side of things. It looks at the reuse of finding. In fact, two of the profiles that are in the book talk about people using a waste stream and turning it into a profit center for their actual businesses. One is bicycle parts, and reusing that. It's just reconfiguring, rethinking the whole process of what this business is. And in our country, there's an incredible amount of waste streams that are completely underutilized.
Right.
And it ends up in a landfill. And if you can create a business, the Better World Books is a great example. They're taking books that are thrown out at the end of the semester in colleges and campuses. That's how they got their start. And these guys put together this website and started collecting the books, and now it's really taken off. It's filling a gap in what we talk about. You know, everyone knows about sort of the ecological niches, you know, how rainforest works and all these different plants and animals fill these different niches. We talk about economic niches, is what kind of business or enterprise can you create to plug these little niches, and ideally on a more of a localized basis, you end up creating a very vibrant and very healthy community that's linked to the environment, linked to our neighbors, and linked to a broader sense of, well, again, fair trade, not free trade. It isn't a matter of getting something cheaper made halfway around the world because you figured out a way of exploiting a resource
right.
or a human being to get it. It's rethinking about all of that, because there are very, very important costs associated with that that aren't necessarily reflected in the price you pay at, for example, a big box retailer. And so what we're all about, you know, trying to actually reflect those costs and those elements in how the business operates. And again, back to what Lisa talked about, conserving customers, it's about building relationships with people, not conducting a transaction.
Right.
We're not about putting a head on a bed in serendipity. It's just about creating an environment where we can talk about things and have campfire together and really, you know, create a whole experience around, you know, what we're all about. And that's the great thing about creativity and how that plays into all of this. It's very renewable, and everyone has some elements of creativity. So it's another part of who we are as beings that we can express through our business.
Yes, and that's perfect, John. I mean, thank you for adding that. I want to, when we come back from this first break, I want to go back into how you describe the fair trade, not free trade, because that's something that I want America to understand about the local markets that we are not supporting, and how whenever we spend our dollars outside of the local market, how it actually hurts not only the community, but also the world. So I'm going to start with that whenever we come back from the break, and we're going to go back and we're going to dive more into ecopreneuring and how you can become an ecopreneur. Please join us after the break.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Has work got you down? Are you feeling stressed and overwhelmed? At Blue Air, we care about you and your well-being. Blue Air is a technical consulting firm that's here to make a difference for you, a difference for the better. If you want to be stress-free, enjoy your job, and make a difference, call on Blue Air. With over 20 years of experience, Blue Air is a service-oriented IT consulting firm specializing in all areas of the industry, from Oracle, service-oriented architecture, and applications development, to scientific programmers and 2D and 3D visualization. Call 1-800-BLUEAR. That's BLUEARE. Or visit blueware.com.
We all have issues. Parenting, addictions, disorders, anxiety, stress. How do we expand on what's working and improve what's not? Let Quantum Leaps with Beth Woodson bring you a high-energy approach to personal growth and creative life change. Listen every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Women's Channel. Let Beth bring you back to sanity with a blend of humor and perspective so you can make the change you need. Quantum Leaps with Beth Woodson. Thursdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, here on Voice America Women's Channel.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to Holistic Living with Tina Marie. If you'd like to join today's conversation with Tina Marie and her guests, call now. The listener lines are open. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Now let's get back to our discussion. Here's Tina Marie.
Hello. Welcome back, America, for Holistic Living. We have, I'm going to try your last names. We've got Lisa Kivrist, is that his
perfect,
name?
Yep.
Kivrist and John Ivanko.
Perfect.
Ah, wow, I did it. and these are the co-authors of Ecopreneuring and Rural Renaissance. I'd love you to go to their website and learn more about these wonderful books because I think this is the way of the future. This is the way of the now. It's not just the future. There is a growing amount of requests for consciousness in how we spend our day, how we spend our moment, how we spend our dollars in this country and in this world so that we are connected to not only the decisions we make for each other as humans, but also connected to those decisions for the earth. And that's what the month of May has been dedicated to. So I invite you to go to their website, which is www.ecopreneuring.biz. And that's spelled ecopreneuring.biz. And if you can spell it, you can also go to ruralrenaissance.org. All these websites will take you to the same wonderful amount of information that's out there that Lisa and John have put together for you. So, John, you had said a phrase that really sparked my interest prior to the break, and it's fair trade, not free trade. And the reason why it's so interesting to me is that here in Houston, along with Sandy's Market, which is one of our local markets here, who is committed to not using large distributors. In fact, they do not have a distributor that brings in their food, and it's a very large market. We are learning as a community on the west side of Houston how to be conscious about where we spend our dollars and where that dollar goes, what it supports at the end result of that expenditure that we make. Does it support big business? Does it support pharmaceuticals? Does it support government-type things that we wouldn't otherwise want to support? And so people are understanding that if they support the local markets and the local farmers and the local artisans, the local people who have small businesses, that dollar goes much further for our world than if they were to go and spend that same dollar at, let's say, a Walmart. And so is that something that you're learning about whenever you mention free trade, fair trade versus free trade?
Well, Well, that's one element of it. That's the localization perspective on what we try to address in that fair trade, free trade concept. And that localization really helps to improve the amount of money circulating within the community rather than being siphoned off to go to wherever that XYZ multinational corporation's headquarters might be. And these days, more and more of those corporations are actually leaving the United States altogether.
Right.
Halliburton being the most notable recent example that's in the news as of late. So you have this money that's just disappearing and going off to far-off places, and while it may provide a few local jobs or a lot of local jobs, most of those jobs are from a compensation perspective, probably have plenty of room for improvement. So what we really are looking at is to encourage the thriving local economy again the way they once were, or in some cases in a lot of places around the country, more in small-town America, is very, very vibrant, where people are selling to each other again, selling to neighbors. And it creates this interesting circle financially as well. We get this service from this person, and we buy this good from that person, and then the farmer is selling. And so all this money keeps circulating around in the community, and everyone is creating a sustainable or viable livelihood from it. And, as a part of that, I think even if you don't necessarily buy 100% into the local, we keep talking about reminding folks that we're living in an era of peak oil. Whether we're there or not is really besides the point, because
right.
Anyone that's gone recently to a fuel station and filled their vehicle up, energy is getting a lot more expensive, especially gasoline. But very soon you're going to see electricity rates take off because a lot of the coal that they have to move around the country is moved around on diesel locomotives. So part of it is looking at the transportation and energy cost side of the equation. And if you don't have to move something halfway around the world to be able to enjoy it, that's going to have a direct impact as well on your whole quality of life. It's going to reduce the amount of money you need to spend to pay for all of this stuff. And the more communities that can retain that sense of local economic vibrancy will be able to be more shock resistant if other issues come up, rather than being dependent on this global energy side of it. Now, the free trade, from our perspective, also ties into a growing consciousness, a growing awareness on the part of our conserving customers that, hey, I want to support, I realize there's issues in places in Africa or Southeast Asia, and I want to help them have a more viable life. And how can I do that in terms of my coffee purchase, for example, which is one of the more heavily fair traded products. And these are actually a certification label associated with it. One of our case studies is World of Good. They're taking fair trade from an artisan community-based products that are created, and they actually created a whole online database to figure out that to make sure these folks are paid more fairly for the textiles they might create or their rugs and so forth. So it's not about getting the cheapest labor to make the product to put in your bathroom or your kitchen. It's now getting the fair trade, getting a reasonable level of compensation that would be fairer than where our current economic model is, get more for less. Is share this because that we hear a lot about immigration policies these days, and there's a reason why people are trying to get into the United States is we've got this huge wealth engine and we're not sharing it. And our premise and a lot of the ecopreneurs we talk with, they're not about competition, and it's all about collaboration and cooperation and reaching out and creating new business models that are about fairness, not trying to get the cheapest, the most amount out of with the least amount of payment. So it's really rethinking all of that. So the local and the fair trade are two interconnected sides of things, and I think both, and that's important, both are very important in this growing emerging movement toward more, if you will, socially responsible consumption. That mindfulness, it's not, it's a little bit of, do I need this? But if I feel I need it, how can I make a better decision in terms of the actual purchase itself? And more people are understanding that. And as they do, and as communities come together, they realize that they can help one another, and everyone is benefiting in the process. And oftentimes the environment is central to all that as well, because who wants to live next to a landfill?
Right. No, not me. And I also don't want to be creating one.
But can you give us a couple of the websites or the places where our listeners can go to participate in the fair trade type purchases that you mentioned? Is there any place that people can do so easily to help support these workers in other countries?
Well, a lot of these are on our ecopreneuring.biz.
Okay.
We actually feature the case stories that we include in the book, and World of Good that I mentioned is on, there's actually a little profile of the founder of that organization right there, and then there's a click over to their organization. I think it's worldofgood.com or something very close to that. And they created an interesting partnership with very recently, actually, with eBay. So there's some exciting partnerships. They're trying to help people understand what is going on, because when you see something in the store, at least in the United States, it's, you know, fruits and vegetables. If you're shopping for fruits and vegetables in Europe, they actually have the country of origin for that avocado or that orange at the store.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, you have absolutely no idea where this stuff comes from, unless you happen to shop at a food co-op. And, you know, they make this information very accessible because they're trying to support that local fair trade, but especially the local economy movement. And so,
right.
You know, those are some of the options that folks can really look at.
Awesome. So how is running your own business has helped for making your life better? If you can give some more information to our listeners about, you know, what would motivate them to really start this, and if you can give them the ins and outs of what it's been like for you to bring your business to this point.
Sure. We've been here on the farm in Wisconsin for over 10 years now, and we transitioned from a very mainstream career track that was the norm for us post-college of working in a cubicle, and we worked mm-hmm. for a corporate advertising agency in Chicago and getting a paycheck and having that routine that was very accepted but extremely unfulfilling for us both personally. And so our shift to both the world of self-employment and running our own business and evolving to being ecopreneurs of not just running a business but running a business that we feel, we hope, makes a difference in this world is very satisfying. And part of that is the issue of control and independence. We talk a lot about self-reliance today, and we see that here on the farm of generating our own power, of growing our own food. But when you are running your own business, you have the opportunity to control your inputs and your outputs. We know what paper goes in our printer. We know where our food scraps go, to the compost. And
right.
That's very empowering because you're able to control your cycle. And in doing so, you can prioritize as you see fit. For us, our family and our community and our friends are very high priority. We have a 6-year-old son, Liam, who's very much a daily part of our business here, be it helping bring muffins to the B&B guests or channeling people out to the campfire at night. But that was very important to us. We didn't want to outsource our child when he was born. And how can we both make that viably economically but also make it a daily part of our lives is to all be running a home-based business together.
Right.
I should mention there are some interesting things about running a business versus going to a job with a W-2 and going on someone else's payroll. The reality is our U.S. tax system is very, it's all about entrepreneurship. Even our president is talking about, you know, American is a nation of entrepreneurs. And the reality is that the business structures that are out there for folks and many of the incentives and rewards for going into business, there's all sorts of things you can do to support your vision of what the world's going to be coming and take advantage of these breaks and tricks that are apart all legally, all within mm-hmm. the context of launching a business. There's things like depreciation for equipment purchases. Well, you can go out and buy a big, huge SUV and depreciate that, or you can go out and buy a wind turbine as a part of your business.
Right.
And so, you know, that they're both out there. There's a depreciation schedule, but you know, you're investing for the future rather than trying to save for it, and you're using the structures in the context of the business and incorporating these different things in to your business to make it work. And we go into a lot of very specific examples of how people have done this in the context of running a business. And
well, when we come back from the break, John, we'll talk about that because I was going to ask, and you were leading into it, how can someone become an ecopreneur? And that way our listeners can know and pull this in for themselves. So join us after the break again here on Holistic Living to talk to Lisa and John.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Has work got you down? Are you feeling stressed and overwhelmed? At Blue Air, we care about you and your well-being. Blue Air is a technical consulting firm that's here to make a difference for you, a difference for the better. If you want to be stress-free, enjoy your job, and make a difference, call on Blue Air. With over 20 years of experience, Blue Air is a service-oriented IT consulting firm specializing in all areas of the industry, from Oracle, service-oriented architecture, and applications development, to scientific programmers and 2D and 3D visualization. Call 1-800-BLUEAIR. That's B. L-U-W-A-R-E, or visit blueware.com. On Soul Healing and Enlightenment, join Master Shah and his assistant teachers to learn simple yet profound soul wisdom teachings for self-healing and to accelerate your soul journey. Learn about the significance of soul enlightenment and how to reach soul enlightenment in this lifetime. Receive many one-time powerful divine blessings to help you heal, prevent illness, rejuvenate, and transform all aspects of your life. Master Shah offers listeners his personal remote soul healing during each show. Soul Healing and Enlightenment with Master Shah broadcasts each Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Let's sing that new song.
My music track, track, track from the Godom Jack. Jack, Jack plays MP3s, threes, threes, and I download fast, fast, fast. I read the bits, bits, bits on the microchips, chips, chips, and I burnt, burnt, burnt all my favorite hits, hits, hits.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in technology, but parents can help keep them updated. Go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Let's face it, hormones happen. Whether you are male or female, hormones have an impact on your overall well-being. Dr. Hart brings to the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel timely topics that answer your lifelong questions about hormones in men, women, and teens. Tune in to Optimal Wellness every Monday at 12 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Optimal Wellness. Live life well. Live life long. Live life to the fullest.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to Holistic Living with Tina Marie. If you'd like to join today's conversation with Tina Marie and her guests, call now. The listener lines are open. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Now let's get back to our discussion. Here's Tina Marie.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Lisa and John about ecopreneuring, and my first question to you, to this wonderful couple, is let's say I'm a person who is in a 9-to-5 job, and I know that I want my life to be more fulfilling. I teach raw food classes here in my home, and I have people come and they say, you know, I just know that there's a change out there waiting for me, and I want to get away from the corporate life, but I'm not sure how. So how can someone become an ecopreneur and start living a fulfilling life?
Well, one thing just to preface any answer to that question is there's really no one textbook way to do this.
Right.
And we see ourselves very much here at In Serendipity on a still on a very much evolving journey. And that's part of the fun and the passion in it all is that things are very dynamic. But it's an important point to make because I think too often in our world right now, we want an answer to our problem, and it's an end solution, and there we go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you go out and you buy the one-stop craft kit with all the pieces, and you make it, and it's done. That's not what we're talking about. And that's a very important realization for folks, and one that John and I both went through personally in our own ways way back when, of this isn't a decision we make once and we're done. It's a choice of a lifestyle and a livelihood that we're going to embrace the rest of our lives, whatever we may be doing, but it's still under this change in value structure.
And that's the shift that's being made.
Yes. And to that point, I think a first step is really getting around other people with that same shift going on, whether they're talking about it, whether they've already done it. I mean, we see that a lot here at the bed and breakfast of our guests, which span the spectrum as far as age and geography and backgrounds, but they're all, to your point, of wanting change and meeting other people or talking about, and we're very happy to share our experiences here over breakfast around the campfires. Getting in that environment is very inspiring because it increases your own confidence because you know you're not the only one. That's one of the reasons, too, that prompted us to write Ecopreneuring and Rural Renaissance about our move from Chicago to Wisconsin so that people can find that mentorship in words, if you will, and connections, that there is a community of people to help support each other.
And really, that's on our website, again, links go out to several different organizations, but one of them is Renewing the Countryside, you alluded to at the beginning of the show. RenewingTheCountryside.org gives you an example of all sorts of enterprises all over the country that are either making, like we gave an example, the products from recycled bicycle parts to thriving agriculture or food-based enterprises in rural areas. And then most recently, we developed a relationship with Ecosector.com, and that's a very beginning portal site for people to first and foremost, kind of put out where they are at, even if they're just starting out. This is my vision. Right. Here's my business. This is where I want to go. And, oh, I've already done this funny little YouTube video for 2 minutes, and you can even add that to this little portal. But it also connects you for looking at other enterprises. And that whole site we really hope to see grow significantly over the next next year as folks can go and see and be inspired by, but actually network and form relationships and partnerships. Again, back to that collaboration, cooperation side of things. A lot of farmers, when they go to the farmers market, a lot of them don't really look at competing with one another. I mean, they try to set their prices and provide unique crops and things to enjoy, different products, but it's all about working together. And a lot of them, after the market's all done, they're all exchanging goods and things back after it's all done. There's boxes of food go back and forth, where someone's
right.
growing leeks and the other one's growing tomatoes and all sorts of heirloom kinds. So you see that whole element. The other for us has always been, and you hear it a lot, is that passion and purpose, which is why it's in our subtitle, putting purpose and the planet before profits. It's if you've got this real just zazz in your internal stomach to say, this is really what I need to be doing and I love what I'm doing, you all of a sudden aren't keeping track of how many hours you're hanging out with a B&B guest around the campfire. It's just you're enjoying what you're doing, you're enjoying the relationships. And you're satisfied, deeply satisfied with what you're producing, if it's a service or if it's a product. So it's looking at putting that passion and that sense of meaning into whatever you're doing. Again, in the context of a business, it's sometimes a lot easier. And when you're in a corporate environment, how many people can just say, I want the day off tomorrow, or I want to go off at lunch at 10 o'clock, I'm hungry. No, you can't do that. I mean, you get your lunch breaks as delegated. You have to put forth for vacation time. When you're an ecopreneur, you can reinvent how you want to work and live. And the reality is Lisa works at 5 o'clock in the morning. And the mm-hmm. reality is I tend to be most productive at 9 o'clock at night. So what do we do in the middle of the day? We go work in the work in the garden and hang out with our son and maybe go work out at the YMCA about the health and wellness side of things. Our health care is a very active thing that we do. It's not something we do after we're diagnosed with a problem and then we go to the health care system to get fixed. It's
right.
very different approach. It's preventative. It's not to say that we have no chance of getting cancer. Of course we do. I mean, I'm sure you've done shows about all the toxic elements that are in the environment.
Right.
All we can do is do the best we can on our level by eating right and exercising and trying to keep stress at a minimum in our day-to-day existence. And when you're operating a business that doesn't require a lot of money and when you're doing a business that doesn't have this huge demand upon you of financial resources, then there's a whole section in Ecopreneuring that addresses this whole debt problem that increasingly our culture and our society has succumbed to. It's if you can get rid of that debt and get out of that, it's incredibly freeing to know that all we need is $15,000 a year to make sure we're completely paid up with all of our financial obligations. Now, we may make more than that, but that's all we need. That's our default bag. And there's very few Americans that we know of that are happily content to have $15,000 or $20,000 a year come through as income.
Right.
We've been able to sort out some other things and focus on relationships and experiences that don't cost any money to have.
And they don't use the energy of the planet in producing those as well.
Oftentimes not.
Yeah.
And that's a part of the story, too. And I think it's an important one as people begin to rediscover. I mean, it's amazing to watch. Just sit down and actually experience a sunset. A little bit before, kind of hang out, maybe even sip on a bottle of organic wine, locally harvested, and enjoy that whole experience, and then stay there even after the sun's gone down. Not rush off to the next thing to do, but just, you know, really try to focus on being in one place and experiencing it to its fullest. It's deeply satisfying, and that's the whole concept, the Buddhist idea of being mindful, is every bite you take, every breath you take, and thinking about trying to incorporate that into your day-to-day life. And that's, you know, it's alluded to within the context of ecopreneuring as well, but it's, you know, we're trying to, the reason why we wrote the book really is to create this resource. There's lots of entrepreneur books of how to retire a millionaire by 25,
right,
or 35, or 45, or 55, or, I mean, you pick the targeted audience for those, you know, how to be a millionaire with your business book. This book is all about how to create a more meaningful, enriching life, and, you know, maybe like some of the profiles in there, some of these businesses are wildly successful financially as well as socially and ecologically. Others, like ours, you know, we're focused on a return on the environment and a little bit of return on our investment, and we're fine with staying right where we're at. And the IRS doesn't care that, you know, we don't want to become a multi-million-dollar franchise called In Serendipity Bed and Breakfast. It doesn't say we have to do that. It just says we have to make profits and we have to pay our portion of taxes, and that's it.
Sounds great. And I know that you had said something that really sparked my interest because, you know, I do live in the big city, and you came from Chicago. I know you experienced this, that there's competition. And I think we grow up, especially in today's day and age, with the idea that we need to be better than our neighbor or better than our, you know, classmate or something of that nature. There's this sense of competition. And I know at some level that competition, there's a healthiness to it because it gives us the desire to be better than, you know, better inside ourselves than where we've come from. But I think we've taken the sense of competition and it has completely masked what it means to be a community or to be in connection with anyone else. And
I
think when you remove that competition, like you're saying, you remove that competition, the whole world opens up for us in this bliss that is possible in every moment.
And exactly what we talk about in ecopreneuring isn't so much, we're basically talking about changing the rules. And right now, you're exactly right, Tina, competition in our society is a straight line to the end goal, and who gets there first, however you do it, is the winner. And
mm-hmm.
you pick up booty along the way.
Right.
That's definitely not what we're talking about. But there is still that inherent sense of betterment. But the rules have changed, and we're not trying to knock each other over to get to the finish line. We're really talking about working with each other to a finish line where we can all have a big party and really feel good about what we did, what we left, what we didn't leave in the process. And that's really turning things on their head to that sense of changing our structure and our mentality towards the game. And we think there's a lot of ending rewards. Because sometimes people equate, you know, you're sitting looking at the sunset, that's all we're doing is just relaxing and
right.
being. And that's not it at all. You put John and I in front of a sunset, we're talking about ideas. We're drawing inspiration from that beautiful backdrop of anything from, gee, how could we, you know, get more zucchini on the bed and breakfast plate tomorrow because we have so much of it, to, gee, what's our next book idea? What can we do after ecopreneuring? But when you're in those environments, creative ideas start sparking, and what ecopreneuring is all about is how can those ideas change the world and not just increase the checkbook.
Increase the bank account, yeah, definitely. And I know for a fact you guys are running a big farm and a bed and breakfast, and I've had my hand at doing a little bit of that. I just planted my organic garden in the backyard, and I can tell you it's work.
Oh, definitely.
There's no sense of just
being. We're very achy this time of year in Wisconsin. I mean, we're out there weeding and doing it, and it's a different kind of tired at the end of the day. You're physically tired, which is something we don't have much of in our world today.
Right. We don't need that gym membership.
Yep.
Yes. One of the things we do write a little bit about is the whole idea of the honeybee economy. And it gets back to your point.
Well, it sounds like something we could do right after the break, John.
All right.
The honeybee economy, I love that idea in the book, and I'm glad you brought that up because it's something I do want them to understand. And, of course, the millions of ladybugs on top of that. So whenever we come back from the break, we're going to continue our discussion with John and Lisa and ecopreneuring, how you can be an ecopreneur and learn more about it for yourselves and your life and your family and your community. Join us when we come back from the break.
your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Has work got you down? Are you feeling stressed and overwhelmed? At Blue Air, we care about you and your well-being. Blue Air is a technical consulting firm that's here to make a difference for you, a difference for the better. If you want to be stress-free, enjoy your job, and make a difference, call on Blue Air. With over 20 years of experience, Blue Air is a service-oriented IT consulting firm specializing in all areas of the industry, from Oracle, service-oriented architecture, and applications development, to scientific programmers and 2D and 3D visualization. Call 1-800-BLUEAIR. That's BLUEARE, or visit blueware.com.
Hey, kid, over here, inside your radio. Name's Ralph. I'm an energy hog. Hey, if you're going to waste energy in your home, I'm going to pig out on it. Anyway, I got a deal for you. There's this new website called energyhog.org. Forget about it. It teaches kids how to get rid of us energy hogs. So you promise not to log on to energyhog.org, and I promise not to eat your radio. Deal?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to Holistic Living with Tina Marie. If you'd like to join today's conversation with Tina Marie and her guests, call now. The listener lines are open. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Now let's get back to our discussion. Here's Tina Marie.
Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us again for this final segment of Holistic Living today. And remember that next week we're going to have Mr. Arsenio Rodriguez on the show, where we kick off our month of June dedicated to very powerful, life-changing fathers who are creating an amazing spiritual movement for our globe and our planet and our humanity. So, John, before we went to the break, you were talking about the honeybee economy. Could you share some more about that with us?
Yeah, I mean, part of we devote a whole chapter in ecopreneuring talking about, you know, what is a sustainable business, and what's the word sustainability, and where did that come from, and obviously there's a lot of definitions and so forth around there, but you know, for a sustainable business, it's talking about a triple bottom line: is planet, people, and profit. It's that environment, social, and economic side of things. But what's the kind of economy that the sustainable business operates in? And that's what we're talking about in terms of the honeybee economy. Bees work derive their energy in a renewable way, which we don't. As humans, we by and large rely on this fossil fuel energy that we have to dig up and then move around the world and transform. Renewable energy is renewable, and for the bees, their the way of collecting nectar and honey in this fuel is renewable, and it is very dependent upon, you know, solar energy.
Mm-hmm.
There's an interesting natural interdependencies that are created in the honeybee economy. And for ecopreneurial businesses, you also will see these interrelationships. So you had talked a little bit about competition. Well, the reality is nature is, you know, not really about taking over everything. It's about, you know, having different plants and animals, you know, finding individual niches and almost complementing one another, but to have their particular species thrive within those particular niches. So they sort of share resources. And in the case with the honeybees, talking about these natural interdependencies, you know, about a third of our human diet is based upon the bees' natural interdependency with the flowers and of different plants that we end up eating. So there's, you know, the bees are directly linked to about a third of our human diet. And yet, it's threatened. I mean, we have lots of discussion as of late with the colony collapse disorder and such, but you know, the relationships, you know, humans aren't that skilled to be able to do what nature is already doing through the services or from a species standpoint, what they're doing in an interconnected way. And so entrepreneurial, ecopreneurial businesses really are trying to reinvent themselves in the same sort of way. And yeah, and so doing, oftentimes they're decentralized or what we call localized,
mm-hmm.
and they've created these relationships with their customers, but also with vendors and suppliers and even investors that are changing the way that they're measuring their success. And so, again, we get back to the return on environment and return on community as well as return on the investment itself, the financial side.
How would you, what would you coach someone to do or suggest someone to do in order for them to get in touch with that part of themselves that will form that niche for themselves? I think we all have something to give back to the world. That's why we're individuals and we've been created. You know, God put us here and there's something that we're here to do. What would be your suggestion in having people be able to slow down and get back in touch with that voice that will tell them what will be fulfilling for them to do, to create their niche?
Well, one suggestion that we write about in ecopreneuring that's a big part of our life is just to get out, to mm-hmm. travel, and heading into the summer season right now, it's a great opportunity to get yourself into new experiences. And they don't need to be far-flung international adventures, although we enjoy those as well, but yeah. even just in your own community of experiencing some different types of businesses, of both in your own shopping, experiencing some local businesses or attending some community events or other gatherings, or seeking out and making a longer trip to a farm and bed and breakfast, if that's what you want to potentially do. Put yourself in some other people's shoes, and all of a sudden things start clicking, be it, hey, you know, this is not what I want, this doesn't feel right at all, to a real homecoming in that it's an essence of this is what I want to be, this is where I'm meant to be, how can I recreate this? And what's great about that is you're in that environment and very open to asking questions about what could be my next steps to do that. Right. It's a little bit untraditional in the sense of a typical answer in most career books is, well, go back and get a degree. Well, you can't get a degree in this. Well, I mean, I guess you can get some sort of green business degrees right now, and then that's probably helpful information. But that's not what we're advocating of sticking your nose in a classroom and a book. But getting out and connecting with people is a great first step.
Right.
If you have a love of food or love of the countryside, you know, go to your nearest farmer's market in the nearest community and not just go in there and buy some carrots and tomatoes, but hang out, talk to the farmers, learn about what they're all about, learn about, you know, their favorite recipe. And what you're going to end up discovering is there's a lot of other people that have those same interests. And if you've only shopped at a supermarket and you show up at a farmer's market, it's almost going to be an epiphany from some level, because it's all about community and the relationships. And once that starts going, then we have the first portion of our book kind of goes into pruning your passions and, you know, trying to figure out, we talk about the, you know, the little seven dwarves and, you know, these elements that we all find ourselves, oh, I can't do that, or I don't have enough money, or all these excuses or barriers we put up around ourselves or succumb to. And we talk about trying to work through those and move forward in, you know, identifying those passions and the goals, because, you know, life is pretty short and you have only so much time, and wouldn't it be great to be doing what you love to do now rather than putting that off until you're retired, to find that maybe physically or emotionally or other things get in the way that you can never do it.
Right.
And we do know, unfortunately, far too many fully retired folks that, you know, always wish to want to start a restaurant and they just never did it. And they're okay, they're comfortable, and they have health care, but you know, they sort of just are not real happy with the way the whole thing turned out. I mean, yeah, they might have kids and everything's fine there, but you know, they almost sort of feel a little shortchanged. And we're all about trying to you know, live the fullest. And you know, to your point, I think humans now have an incredible role on this planet to be a part of the what we call the restoration economy.
Yes.
You know, it's not about just maintaining the status quo, you know, sustaining ourselves. You know, we got a lot of fixing up to do to be able to set the course. And the entrepreneurs, ecopreneurs that are coming out on, that are launching the businesses now are all about restoration. They're inventing entirely new ways. For example, TS Designs, one of the ecopreneur profiles, actually created a whole new way of making T-shirts where the printing is in the fabric without any chemicals.
Wow.
Not on it.
Good for them.
And so that's the kind of stuff. It's a brand new eco-innovation in terms of their approach to solve a problem and operate under that triple bottom line as a part of their business.
Right, and that inspiration, creativity, comes from being more in touch with the community and yourselves and the whole energy of what we're here to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that this is what you've dedicated your lives to. I'm glad that you're able to find this for yourselves at this level, at this age. Is like you said, there's some people that don't get here until, you know, farther along in their lives, and they're wishing they had another chance at it. I'm in the process right now of defining what that is. And like you said, Lisa, it changes. It evolves. We are evolving beings on an evolving planet. And so, listeners, I invite you to find that niche that passions your heart. And it may be at this time, and to not put yourself in a box like most of us will be accustomed to doing. We want to get that degree, and we want to go do something that uses that, or we want to say that we're this or we're that. The labels, I think, and you could, you know, put your opinions on this, John and Lisa, I think whenever we label ourselves, we limit ourselves.
Almost definitely, which is why we can't label ourselves anymore on one of those 2.5 by 3 business cards.
Right.
Our lives are too complex for a 2-word job description, and we thrive on that.
Yeah.
And it evolves every day and changes, and that's good too, because that essence of newness really prompts us to challenge both ourselves personally and our planet and how we do things. And that's what's so exciting about this time right now, in that because of the growing interest in green issues, green products, and our current economic situation, I think there's going to be, by default, a lot of creativity going on. And we could really look at this as an opportunity versus a plague, versus this real downer that we just have to muddle through. It's going to be the time for us to shine if we embrace it as ecopreneurs.
Yeah, we're finally getting back to our true selves. So thank you so much, John and Lisa, for joining us today on the show. And listeners, please go to their website and find out more about ecopreneuring for yourself at ecopreneuring.biz. And you can look up the Serendipity Inn in Wisconsin if you want to find a place to stay this summer and enjoy their company. And it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Listeners, please join us next week whenever we continue our holistic living. The month of June, we're going to start it with Arsenio Rodriguez. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, Tina.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Holistic Living with Tina Marie. If you'd like to learn more about living a healthier life through holistic nutrition, visit tinamarie.com. Tina Marie invites you back next week for another empowering episode of Holistic Living with Tina Marie, right here on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.